every episode of this podcast is about true things that have happened at some point or another on this planet. Each episode is different than the next, and they are each centered around stories that are odd, outlandish, or of the occult. This podcast will include foul language. This podcast may also include themes of graphic content such as murder, rape, or gore. Listener's discretion is advised.
Like, once upon a time, there were these two humans that were, like, alive and stuff. One of the humans had listened to a podcast called Red Handed so much that she decided that she could also do a podcast. She did the podcast. And then she said, "Hey, you want to do it with me, Dan?" And then,
okay.
And then we did it together. So here we are. And something that was supposed to just be a casual hobby turned into a second job that pays nothing. Here we are, on episode 21. Thank you all for making it this far. I am your host, Autumn, and this is...
Fucking Muggins, who got dragged along for the ride and could totally be hanging out with friends or masturbating right now. Or both.
Or both.
Today, we have an episode about Nazis. Just gonna go right into it. Everyone around the globe knows about the Nazi regime.
Everyone around the world knows what a Polaroid camera is, but you still felt a need to spend 10 minutes explaining it that time.
You're just gonna keep bringing that up, aren't ya?
Yes.
Alright. And we all know that it was a thing that was fucking horrible. The Nazis, not the Polaroids. Everyone knows about Hitler.
What was Hitler's last name?
Wasn't it Hitler, his last name?
Oh, it was? Oh, I thought it might have been, like, Goldstein or something.
No, Dan, it was Hitler. And his first name was Adolf.
Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Today, we are going to be talking about two of the lesser-known but equally terrible Nazis.
Trigger warning.
This episode includes talks of genocide, murder, torture, and probably more gruesome and hideous things.
Yes, you have been duly warned.
That was a good play on words there, Dan. Once upon a time, there was a little girl called Ilsa. Ilsa was actually born Margareta Ilsa Kohler in Dresden, Germany. She was a beautiful little plump baby who turned into a pleasant and happy child, complete with rosy cheeks and curly hair.
Not too curly, I hope, or this won't end well for little Ilsa.
You can imagine her playing on the side of the road with a hoop and stick, laughing gaily with her fellow German childrens. I myself imagine this scene in black and white because Ilsa was a child back in the oldie-timey days, you know, when there was no color in the world.
I imagine her in red.
But everything else is in black and white, like Sin City?
I mean, Schindler's List, specifically.
Oh yeah, ain't seen that one. It looked really sad and boring.
It was definitely both of those things, yes.
Okay. Ilsa was born in September of 1906 to a former military commander. She must have inherited some good genes because she was intelligent enough to enroll in accounting school by the time she was 15. We could not find much about the early life of Ilsa because she joined the Nazi party as soon as she could. One could say that all of her war crimes kind of cancel out anything that might have been interesting about her early years.
But what about that one time she heroically rescued a drowning child from a river and was awarded a green silken sash?
Haha! Oh yeah, you're referring to the last episode where that happened. Yeah. So, the Nazi Party was created after Germany lost World War I. This was a crushing blow to their country for many reasons. They lost about 3 million Germans during the war, and after it was over, they had to sign a treaty that put them into about 132 billion gold marks into debt. This caused the country to go into something called hyperinflation. This meant that money was worth nothing to the common German. By November of 1923, 42 billion marks were worth the equivalent of one American cent. Fun fact, there were a lot of serial killers running around this time too in this area. just because there was really no law and everybody was hungry, so there were a lot of cannibals too.
Huh, and didn't you tell me that they were burning money to keep warm as well?
Yes.
Interesting. So yeah, I mean, if 42 billion marks were worth the equivalent of one American cent, they should have sent Ilse Koch over to America to suck some cock for a couple bucks. With that kind of exchange rate, she could have paid off their debt many times over.
And she probably would have been down with that too.
Especially if there were some horses.
And we'll get to that. In 1924, they came up with a plan to reduce the debt and form a new currency. The U.S. actually lent them some money to help pay off some of their debt.
America helping the Nazis? Whatever next.
This was slightly before the Nazis were a thing.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
And things were starting to get better for Germany, but the Great Depression happened and their economy began to crumble again. And this was when that one guy got elected. You know the one, with the tiny mustache. He canceled all debt payments in 1933. He was like,
Nein! We are Germany and we did not lose das war! We owe nobody nothing! Nein, nein, nein!
And the people saw this as an act of patriotism and courage. And they liked this guy because he promised to make Germany great again. And so he created his own little party of Nazis. A party, if you will. This party was attractive to the Germans because it seemed to offer them all of the solutions to their problems. The party's main goal, at first, was to turn the German people against democracy. Hitler thought that having a democratic government was one of the reasons that they lost World War I.
Okay, back to Ilse. So she joined up and shortly after met and fell in love with a fucking dickhole called Karl Otto Kack.
Kack.
They got married in 1936.
And he gave her 1,000 miles of cock.
In 1937, Karl was made commander of the Buchenwald concentration camp near Weimar, Germany. Buchenwald was one of the three largest camps of its kind, and the iron gates at the front read, Jedem das seine, or to each his own. Now, most of the Nazi officers' wives, they stayed in the house and raised the children and had their slaves clean and cook the meals.
Slaves? Where did you get that nonsense? What self-respecting Nazi would let a Jew cook their meals?
From what I read, if the commanders lived at the camp and the wives and the children and stuff lived there too, they would have prisoners, the ones that they trusted apparently, up in their house, like, being slaves.
Fair enough.
But not Ilse. She wasn't content to stay at home and be the good little housewife. Ilse was very interested in the work that the Nazis were doing in the camps. Karl let her step up and help with the work, and within a few short years, she became known as one of the most feared Nazis at Buchenwald. She even earned herself a nickname, the Bitch of Buchenwald.
Did she, though? That alliteration might sound awesome in English, but I'm not so sure it would in German.
Well, I've heard witch, too.
Okay, fair enough. Well, what would witch be in German? Hex, probably? So it still wouldn't have a great ring to it, would it? But anywho, carry on.
When the camp was built, she had her own manor erected at the border of the camp. Once the prisoners started to flood in, she began to steal their wealth and possessions for her own gain.
I mean, that seems fair. It's not like they'll need it anymore.
You're a dick, Dan.
Who, me?
Yeah, you're the only Dan in the room, I think. Yep, confirmed.
Yep.
So, Hitler came up with the idea that Jewish folk were evil and he wanted to create a whole master race. We all know about that. What you might not know is that he also thought that all the money the Jewish people had, all of their furniture and art and jewelry too, all of it belonged to the Germans who were not Jewish. Or gay. Or old. Or autistic.
Or anything that was not perfect.
And he thought that he could encourage more Jewish folk to just leave the country if he made a law stating that no Jewish person could have more than, like, $2,000 worth of stuff. And this was before he started rounding them all up into camps.
What a jealous little man. Probably a raving homosexual, too. Do you ever just stop and think about that? Like, I mean, he was a fucking runt, man. He was hardly, like, a model master race himself, was he? you know, short little dark-haired guy. I like to just assume that he was a closeted gay man who was probably Jewish. It's nice to think that perhaps, you know, he was all the things that he hated most. Anyway, so it started with this 1938 property registry, and any Jewish person who had a lot of money or nice belongings had to give it over. And then more and more economic laws were being passed that progressively made life even worse for the Jewish people. If any Jewish person decided to leave the country, they had to relinquish 50% of their monetary assets. At this time, before the camps were built, a lot of Jewish folk did try to leave. America, all of a sudden, enforced stricter laws on immigration, probably because the Jews didn't have any of their money left, and they didn't have any tacos either. Canada only took in about 5,000 Jewish immigrants at this time, but Britain started to let in greater numbers of immigrants. And all of this stolen wealth just made the Nazi Party more powerful in a short amount of time. And all of the money and wealth was to be allocated straight to the cause.
But Ilse did not play by the rules. Nope. Ilse had this big indoor sports arena built for her on the property of Buchenwald. She was into horseback riding type sports stuff, so she used the money and the slave labor to get what she wanted.
She was probably into some horse cock riding too.
She really loved her horses. She also furnished her house with the things that once belonged to the Jewish people. While the prisoners at camp were starving to death, she had them in her home cooking lavish meals for her family and guests to gorge on.
Here's your gefilte fish and your matzo balls, bitch.
So her husband Carl was also skimming profits off of the SS, and the two of them really didn't try to hide it at all. So yeah, there were female Nazi wardens in these camps, and they did have power over female prisoners.
Wait, I've seen this on Pornhub.
Ew, is that a thing?
Yes.
What is it, like Rule 43 or something, that there's a porn about everything?
I mean, we're going to have to go off on a tangent here because I have no idea what Rule 43 is and I'm intrigued.
Oh, you've never heard of that?
No.
Where's your phone? Google it.
I don't need to. I have you and apparently you know what it is. That way you just used it
in
what you thought was proper context and you have no idea. Explain it to us, Autumn.
I don't remember exactly what the number is, but it's Rule something. I think it's Rule 43, but it states basically that if you can imagine it, there's already been a porn made about it.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Like Ilse Koch Scheisse porn.
Yes, it's already happened. Somebody did it.
Ha! Awesome. We should look that up.
Yeah. So, female Nazi wardens. Okay, they existed, but Ilse, she was different. She wasn't a warden. She was just the wife of the commander. And she used her 1939 good looks to attract the attention of the starved and tortured male prisoners.
I refuse to believe that was attractive in any era, Autumn. The fucking state of it.
Yeah, she wasn't very attractive, but I did see some pictures of her when she's like looking up at the camera and smiling this like evil, mischievous grin. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, I guess some attention-starved prisoners could have been on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, any chick looks kind of attractive when they're just looking up at you waiting for a face full of cum.
Gross. So this woman, if you could call her that, would ride her horse through camp wearing see-through nightgowns. The men, if they so much as looked at her, they would be beaten, sometimes to death. And sometimes she would even do the beatings herself.
The beatings off of the horse.
Look, Daddy, I'm a farmer.
Yeah, Daddy, I'm doing it.
Sometimes she would tell her husband that these prisoners were making advances toward her, and he would murder them on the spot.
Yeah, what Jewish prisoner of war would not be attracted to their Nazi imprisoner with a face like an elephant's bell end?
I mean, they're starved for attention and they probably haven't banged anything in a while.
You know, I suspect that they were definitely starved, but not so much of attention, but they probably didn't want that kind of attention.
Oh, no, no, no. So, there are dozens of witnesses still alive to this day that can attest to all of Ilse's horrible atrocities. Every time she would leave her arena on horseback, she would force a band to play for her departure.
Yeah, but honestly, who wouldn't want that? I don't think you need to be a Nazi psycho to want that.
Yes, give me my own theme song!
Yeah, but yours would just be something really comedic, right? Like...
Probably. So, in this band, Elsa's theme song band was formed of all prisoners, like with trumpets and shit. And she had a torture buddy called Martin Sommer, who would gleefully...
Sorry, hold on. Just because it's German, you suddenly want to pronounce Martin as Martin?
I don't know.
It's just Martin.
It's just Martin.
Yeah. Sommer.
Martin Sommer.
Yeah, this guy.
And he would gleefully carry out her unwarranted commands against the men. His nickname was the Hangman of Buchenwald.
Imaginative.
Yes. When she was inside her home, she would lounge around nearly naked and order her Jewish slaves to bring her food and beverages. And if they looked at her body, it was over for them. Most of Ilse's house servants were teenage boys and young men.
That's good. So she was a fucking crazy dickhole psychopath and a pedo.
Yeah. Ilse also kept a human skull on her desk and let her children play with it. Her son made a fun game of pulling the teeth out and putting them back in.
Ooh, human Lego.
Oh, Jesus. Ilse and Carl would host wild parties and orgies, and they both took different lovers at different times. But these good times did not last long for the cacks.
Cacks. It's a shame she never went full Mr. Hands.
Mr. Hands?
Oh, you haven't? You don't? You're not aware?
What is Mr. Hands?
Oh, it's probably for the best, Autumn.
Okay.
It's like, it's kind of... It's one up from One Man in a Jar.
Oh, God.
You've seen that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Hands, well, that's what he was known to, his bestiality buddies. Well, he got fucked to death by a horse.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that guy.
Yeah. It's probably best that you only heard about it.
No, I don't want to watch the video.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, the horse started having way too much fun. And that's a lot of dick.
Okay.
In what is a much smaller mammal. And he died.
Okay.
He died a lot.
Picture.
So now you understand my point, that it's a shame that Ilse didn't do that.
It is a shame.
Yes.
Damn shame.
Yeah, I would like Ilse to have got fucked to death by a horse.
Same.
Yeah.
Fuck that bitch.
Fuck that bitch. In the ass. With a 36-inch equine penis.
36-inch equine penis. One day, a stupid-ass fucktard Nazi came to visit Ilse and Carl.
Hold up. You never let me use the R word. And now you're gonna go full fucktard? What the fuck, man? Your double standards are real.
That was a typo. I didn't mean to put that in there. Did you put that in there?
I did not. Yep, you fucking done it now, and I am not stopping the recording, so carry on. What? Just know that Autumn has double standards to shit. It's unbelievable. She calls me a vile human being? Good God. Behind closed doors, not on this recording. She's horrid. Horrid. She's not really. She's lovely. But she did just say fucktard. Which has tard in it. Which, if you did not know, is derived from the word retard. Which I'm not allowed to say.
But they're two different things.
How? How are they two different things? A tard is a tard.
No. Retard's a horrible word that horrible people use to describe people that are mentally impaired, okay? A fucktard is just a dumbass idiot fucktard, man. Has nothing to do, just because the word tard's in there doesn't mean anything.
But it does. You fucktard.
Anyways, so this fucktard's name was Conrad Morgan, and he had heard a rumor about Ilse that he had to confirm with his own two scumbag eyes. Ilse was not just fascinated by human skulls. She also liked human skin.
Which is unfortunate, because I do believe, culturally, most Jews are circumcised.
Ooh. Huh.
So she was always just going to get a little bit less skin.
Yeah. That's sad. Sad for Ilse.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that bitch. So she would force male prisoners to undress in front of her. If she spotted a tattoo on someone that she liked, that prisoner was taken away, never to be seen again. Well, his tattoo would be seen again. That's right. Ilsa would have the tattoo flayed off of the prisoner and turned into a lampshade. And this really happened. And it happened multiple times.
Well, you can't just have one lamp, Autumn. You need the matching pair, everyone knows that. And what a shame that there were no foreskins, because those are stretchy as fuck. You could literally make a lampshade out of every foreskin.
Gross. What would you make with tattooed skin?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what would I make with my foreskin?
No, just tattooed skin.
Oh. I don't know, like a fleshlight?
Gross. I was going to say, like, a leather jacket would be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty punk, yeah. That would be pretty cool, yeah. Thinking about it, though, I don't really need to make a fleshlight, do I? I have a built-in fleshlight.
Anyways, let's talk more about Dan's penis.
I mean, we don't really have that much time. It'd be a very long episode.
Would it, though?
Well, I mean, no, it'd be a wide episode.
Yes.
Not a very long episode.
It's all about the girth, baby.
Yeah, it's kind of a chode episode. An epichode! Oh, this is getting strange.
Okay, I figured it would. So, Ilsa would even have tattoos framed and sent out to other officers as Christmas gifts.
Festive. So, why would this be a problem to the Nazi scumsuckle Conrad Morgan? Well, see, Nazis were okay with genocide and torture, but these things needed to be done in the name of the cause. The genocide was put in place to help further perpetuate the master race. The torture was all done in the name of medical science. So, if you were doing what the terrible Ilsa and Karl were doing, torture for the outright pleasure, this was bad. This was not the Nazi way. You can only be a dick, but you can't be a cunt. And then Conrad Morgan discovered the money that was being stolen from the Nazi party. Ilsa and Karl were taking a lot of valuables that were not meant for them to be had, and the Nazis were super pissed about this. These two things were enough for the Nazis to be like, "These people think that they are above our laws, and so we must take them down a notch to set an example for the other Nazis. If they all run amok doing whatever they please, then we will surely lose this kampf of ours."
So, Conrad Krusty Morgan went full Richard and tattled to a guy called SS General Josias Prince of Waldeck and Pyrmont. This guy was Carl and Elsie's boss, but he lived in a castle and never fucked around with Buchenwald. So he had no idea what was going down until Conrad spilled the sauerkraut.
That was very good. You did a funny, and the alliteration pleased me. Good job.
I wrote a joke.
You did it.
By the way, the castle he lived in was called Wolfenstein, and it inspired the video game called Wolfenstein 3D and the subsequent franchise that goes on to this day.
Fuck off it was. Man, I'll never forget busting out of that jail cell, stabbing some German shepherds to death, and then shooting my first Nazi right in the fucking face. The world's first ever first-person shooter. Legendary. And the sequels have been pretty decent too. Tough as fuck, though.
I've never played it.
We should. They're all on Xbox Game Pass.
Okay.
And yeah, they're difficult as fuck, but really, really cool. Really cool.
So, when Carl and Ilsa were questioned by the Nazis, they both bitched out immediately. Ilsa had a breakdown, and Carl just started to confess everything. They even started to confess to all of their affairs and shit. So, they were mostly stealing small things that would go unnoticed, like gold teeth and gold rings.
But no foreskins.
And they stole a lot. I think some 40,000 people died at Buchenwald in total. Carl even confessed to killing a prison doctor because he diagnosed Carl with syphilis, and Carl did not want anyone to find out.
How are you gonna bang if everyone knows you're riddled with STDs and horse semen? Yup. Carl and Ilsa were so fucked up that even the Nazis themselves hated them. Oh, and another point that's pretty important. Buchenwald was not supposed to be a death camp. The Nazis had specific camps for murder, but Buchenwald was put in place for production. The slave labor was used to make stuff for the Nazis. So yeah, they were not supposed to be killing them here. Sure, some died from starvation or disease, but that was okay. In fact, no prisoner was ever to be executed in a production camp unless Himmler approved of it. So Karl and Ilse went behind fucking Himmler's back. What the fuck? The fucking audacity. Holy shit. It's like they were super Nazis. Nay, uber Nazis. Because uber is German. Uh-huh. Just wanted to point that out. It's not just like an online taxi firm. It means, you know.
Yeah, well, for some reason when you said uber Nazis, that song Hooked on a Feeling just jumped into my head for no reason.
You're going to have to tell us why.
Because the beginning where they go, ooga chaka, ooga chaka. I was uber like, uber Nazi, Nazi
uber,
yeah.
Uber, uber Nazi, uber, yeah. Uber. I can't stop this feeling.
That's what happened.
Deep inside of me. That's it's happened. A horse penis.
So Karl Koch was not, unfortunately, executed by horse cack. He was executed by firing squad soon after. He did not even go to trial. And his last words were,
shoot well, boys! I mean, that's kind of badass. And also weak. Like, don't shoot me in the legs and stomach a bunch, please. Just go straight for the head.
Yeah, he probably wanted a quick death. Most people do.
Yeah, he didn't really deserve one, though, did he?
Nope. Ilse got a trial and pretended to be a victim of her husband, and the Nazis acquitted her. This trial happened 1 month before the Third Reich collapsed. After her husband died, she moved into a hotel with her two children.
Was it the Cecil?
No. I actually couldn't find the name of the hotel, unfortunately. So here she is said to drink heavily and constantly have random male visitors in and out of her room.
I hope they had an elevator, because how the fuck are you going to get a horse up the stairs?
Not those kind of male visitors, Dan.
Oh.
But this was a big no-no for women to be doing back then, so the hotel manager filed a complaint with the local authorities. And this led to the Americans finding her location and arresting her as a war criminal. During her trial, she became a worldwide symbol of the horrors of the Nazi regime. She was initially hit with life imprisonment for violation of the laws and customs of war.
That's the most American sentencing I've ever heard. Sorry, bitch, you warred wrong. America would know, after all.
You didn't do that war right, I reckon. In 1948, her sentence was reduced to 4 years after already serving two. Why? Because
there was no convincing evidence that she had selected inmates for extermination in order to secure tattooed skins, or that she had possessed any articles made of human skin.
Of course, she no longer possessed any of her damn lampshades. The Nazis got rid of that shit immediately upon discovery.
I mean, she was literally sending them to other Nazi officers, so I'm not sure how she wasn't found out sooner.
Right? All they had was eyewitness testimony, and the reduction of the sentence pissed off a lot of people. So she was arrested a few more times, and the Germans finally got a life sentence to stick in 1951. In 1967, at age 60, Ilse hanged herself in prison. She was convinced that concentration camp survivors would come to the prison and torture her, so she killed herself before they could. Good riddance.
Pussy.
Yeah, she sucked, and it was a shame that she got to live to age 60.
Yes, indeed. Okie dokie.
Let's segue into the angel of death, Josef Mengele. Why do they always call healthcare professionals who do the murders Angel of Death? I don't know why, but this always bothers me. And you see it frequently if you consume a lot of true crime stuff.
Because the ones who don't murder are often seen as angels, so the angels who kill are angels of death? What would you call them? Civil servants of doom?
Yes! I like that one much better. Civil servants of doom!
Doom!
Dr. Mengele was born in March 1911 in Bavaria. Like with Ilse, little is known about Josef's childhood, other than the fact that it's a shame he made it out of it.
Right.
But we do know that he had a degree in philosophy from the University of Munich. He also went on to earn a degree in medicine in Frankfurt, and then he got a PhD in physical anthropology. Josef was one smart scumbag. In 1937, he joined the Institute for Hereditary Biology and Racial Hygiene. Yeah, That was a thing that existed.
He then joined the Nazi Party and the SS and was drafted into the army and worked as a medical expert. He was originally sent out to the front lines as a military doctor, but was seriously wounded soon after. Once he had healed up a bit, he was sent to work at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute for Anthropology, Human Genetics, and Eugenics. Yep, that was a thing that also existed.
Oh, I love those guys.
Who?
Eugenics.
What?
You know, sweet dreams are made of this.
That was Eurythmics, Daniel.
Oh yeah, my bad.
After that, he was sent to work at Auschwitz. And this is where he became infamous. Part of his job description was to judge the Jewish prisoners when they arrived to see if they were fit to work or not. And you know what happened to them when they were not deemed fit for work.
Racial hygiene with a nice refreshing shower?
Yep. That's a terrible joke.
I mean, it's a good joke that is terrible.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, on his very first day at Auschwitz, he sent 1,035 people to the gas chamber. 1,000 people in one fucking day.
Wow. I guess those other 35 Jews didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, huh, Autumn?
They did. I just didn't want to say 1,035 again, man. It's redundant.
Oh, so those other 35 Jews were redundant.
Oh my god,
well.
No!
Yeah, no, exactly. I feel like we should count every single last fucking one if we have exact figures, Autumn.
Here, have a quote.
Yes, let's have a quote.
Dr. Josef Mengele said,
"Here, the Jews enter through the doors and leave through the chimney."
I mean, I'm just envisaging the scene from Ghostbusters where they turn off the power to the containment unit. You know, just a chimney with, like, ghosts, like, flying all
oh
over.
Oh, my God. So yeah. Many angry spirits.
Yeah, see?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Dr. Death was also responsible for testing the gas that they used in the gas chambers and trying to find different ways to perfect it. He also studied various diseases, one of which, called Noma, had started to spread in Auschwitz. So, Dr. Death had the children that were infected with Noma rounded up and killed. He then harvested their body parts and had them sent to university labs for research.
So Noma is a disease that occurs in malnourished children in places where sanitation is lacking. So concentration camps were paradise for Noma, if nobody else. It's a type of gangrene that destroys the mucous membranes of the mouth and other tissues.
Ooh.
Sounds just divine.
That's horrible.
Yes.
Dr. Death was also experimenting with ways to figure out how to keep Nazi soldiers from freezing to death on the battlefield. So he would round up prisoners and freeze them to see how their bodies reacted at different temperatures. If the prisoners died, he would try to revive them using different methods to see which would work on the Nazi soldiers.
Which presumably was none.
He was also obsessed with eye color and would inject dye into children's eyes to try to change the color.
How far we've come.
Indeed. This was extremely painful and...
It was?
I guess, yeah.
A needle in the eye with dye being injected was painful?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
And it usually resulted in blindness, Dan.
Wow. I'm shocked again.
After these children would die, he would save their dyed eyes. He was very interested in the aberration when twins would have two different eye colors.
Dr. Mengele, or Dr. Death, as I think we should just continue to call him because that's pretty cool, was obsessed with twins, and not in a Pornhub kind of way. He was trying to figure out a way for more German people to have more twins that were racially superior. And this dude was super nice to those prisoners, comparatively speaking, of course. With the children, he would give them sweets and let them play. Sometimes they even called him Uncle Mengele. Which, I don't know.
Uncle Mengele.
Uncle Mengele, could I have some more candy, please? And another needle in my eye, please, may I?
Yeah, I don't know. When I first read Uncle Mengele, that just... I don't know why, it kind of chilled me a little.
It sounds gross. When it comes out of your mouth, it just doesn't sound pleasant.
Yeah, but I think if you put uncle in front of most things, that's just kind of the case, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, you know, like...
Anyways.
Like dirty old Uncle Tom, who, you know, dilded you under the covers. Anyway, he would experiment on dwarves and pregnant women, performing many surgeries without any kind of anaesthetic. If they survived his scientific torture, they would be sent to the gas chamber. This dude did some crazy shit in the name of science and perfecting a master race. He would transfuse blood from one twin to another just to see what would happen, which, if you think about it, is actually a fairly interesting and valid experiment. I mean, not pleasant and not one that should be done, of course,
yeah.
As with any of these experiments that wound up being incredibly useful to the human race, but that's actually an interesting one. I mean, I'm sure that by now we would have figured it out without having to actually do it, but being genetically identical and therefore having also the same blood type, I guess no problem, right?
Yeah, maybe no problem.
Do twins always have the same blood type? They must. They must. Of course they do. Yeah.
I think if they're identical...
Why am I asking?
If they're identical twins, they would, but if they're fraternal twins, there's a chance that they would not have the same blood type.
Indeed. He would perform sex.
What?
I thought I'd stop there just for comedic value. Sorry. He would perform sex change operations on prisoners as well. He would lock prisoners up in total isolation and measure their madness.
What's a madness measurer?
I don't know. What is the unit of measure of madness?
57 mads.
67 kilowatts of madness.
Excellent. Kilowatts of madness.
Madnesses?
Most certainly. Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
Clearly. What else could it be? Crazosity?
That sounds like Travelocity.
And time for an advert from our sponsor, Travelet. No, that's bullshit.
Uh-huh.
It sucks anyway.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, how would you even measure madness? Once you even have a unit of measure, how would you measure it?
Like with some kind of tool, like a compass that either points to the person who's crazy or doesn't point? I don't know.
A crazy compass.
Crazy compass.
Crazy compass.
Crazy stick.
Crazy stick. Yeah, there you go. So you measure them with the crazy stick, and then if they're too crazy, then you try and beat some of the crazy out of them with the crazy stick.
That's the Nazi way.
That's Nazi, very nice.
So, on some occasions, Dr. Death would let a pregnant woman give birth. He would deliver the baby himself, and then he would tape the woman's nipples so that she could not feed the child and be forced to watch the baby starve to death.
Okay, so when you first wrote this script and I read it, you said take the woman's nipples. And so I said that actually rates about a 9.2 on the Dan scale of extreme shit, because just taping them, I mean, just fucking take the tape off, bitch.
She couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, of course, the baby would just need to suck harder though, right? But we said we wouldn't mention a Serbian film again.
Oh, fuck off! God damn it. God damn it.
Not that going by the amount of crying, the baby had anything in its mouth.
This one time, he tried to sew two twins together. He connected their organs and blood vessels together.
Was this kind of like a...
human centipede?
Yeah. Like, was it ass to mouth?
No. It was side by side. Like a conjoined twin situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They screamed for 3 days straight before dying of gangrene. During his time at Auschwitz, Mengele found 1,500 pairs of twins to experiment on. Only 100 pairs of them survived. If one twin died, the other would be killed immediately for comparative data.
God, imagine he found a set of triplets or more. He'd fucking cream himself.
Yeah, during the research, I didn't find anything about triplets, so... eh. This one time, he had a pit dug into the ground and lit it on fire. Then, he had 300 children under the age of 5 jump into it. If they would not jump of their own accord, Nazis would simply throw them in.
Whee! Uncle Mengele, I'm on fire!
Look, Uncle Mengele, no hands!
So, unlike Elsa and Carl, Dr. Mengele was revered for his sadism because he was doing it in the name of science. The more sadistic his experiments became, the more powerful and respected he was in the eyes of the SS.
Was he the hose pipe in the butt guy?
I don't know. I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
I don't know. I haven't heard of this one.
Oh, where, like, the Nazis would put a hose pipe up the Jewish folks' butt and then, like, basically just flush them out from the bottom, making them puke up their own fecal matter.
Oh, my God.
And insides.
Oh, my God.
And then eventually just clear water. So I guess, you know, all's well that ends well.
I don't think he did that, but I'm sure somebody did.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So after the fall of the Third Reich, Mengele went on the run. He got a visa and an alias and escaped to Argentina, where he lived in poverty for the rest of his life. He died in a swimming pool in Brazil in 1976 from a stroke. That guy sucked. And he got to live for a very long time. Both of these assholes did. I'm so fucking pissed off. And Nazis suck. We will never do a full Nazi episode again, but it's something that we had to talk about. If we don't talk about the terrible things that have happened in the past, then history has a better chance of repeating itself.
Yup. But luckily, the Nazis failed. And as the King of the Jews once said, life, finds a way.
What? Jesus didn't say that.
Jesus is not the King of the Jews, Autumn.
Oh, who's the King of the Jews?
Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Oh, okay.
So, is there anything else we need to say about Nazis?
No, but I feel like we could probably say a bit more about the King of the Jews.
Why do you keep calling him that? Nobody calls him that.
Are you kidding me? I mean, so hold on. If I had to ask you, in all of the world, in all of history, who your favourite Jew is, who would you pick? Yeah, Jeff fucking
Seinfeld.
Goldblum. Oh, fuck off, it would be Seinfeld, that fucking dickhole. Come on, man, you know it would be Jeff Goldblum. You love Jeff.
I don't know. Is Adam Driver Jewish?
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But, yeah, Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Who, for a long time, I just mistakenly called Seth Goldblum because the first movie I saw him in was The Fly. I don't know. I may as well just go around calling him Jeff Brundle.
I tried watching him in that show he has, but he's not very good when he's by himself. He's not really that kind of actor. He needs, like, a cast of characters surrounding him at all times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's Weird and then there's Jeff Goldblum, but we still love him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what a fucking actor. And, I mean, he was great when he puked on that guy's face and then ate it. Yeah. That was awesome. I loved that shit. Anyway, I guess that's probably it. So what are we doing now, Autumn? Tell us!
Well, it's time for my favorite segment of the show where we roll for podcasts. Dan's going to roll a D20, which is going to decide the fate of episode 22.
Ooh, 22 is my lucky number, so hopefully I get an episode that I want.
Yeah, let's see.
I know what I want.
Well, let's roll for it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so I am hoping, ideally, for a number 14, but I would take a 12. Holy shit! No way!
Did it.
Wow.
Did it.
I mean, we would never fucking lie to you, listeners, and I shit you not. We didn't get my first choice, but I did genuinely just roll a 12. So, tell them what we've got next week.
We're going to be talking about the true story of Candyman.
One Ruthie Mae.
Ruthie Mae.
Ruthie Mae.
I did not write down her last name, but she has one, and we will be talking about her and her life.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what's happening. Guess we'll end it here, unless you want to talk. Why is Adam Driver there with what seems to be a biblical fucking what?
I don't know.
Right, so if we have any Christians listening, we need you to check your Bible, and please check verse 50:39. I can't tell you which book that'll be in.
It'll be the Adam Driver book.
But check verse 50:39 and see if Adam Driver is mentioned. I don't know why this is written down on this list, but I want to know. Maybe that's some kind of measurement of the girth of his fingers. Thank you for listening.
We appreciate you.
If you like us, you can come support us on Patreon at Seven Circles Pod.
We are an indie podcast, and without your support, we would not be able to do this thing that we love.
Everything was written, produced, edited, and mixed by us, Autumn and Dan.
Thanks to Caroline Gates for the artwork and Null Machine for the music.
If you have anything to say to us about this episode, come say hi to us on the social medias.
We are currently on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for Seven Circles Podcast. That's the number 7, not the word, plus circles like the shapes.
7 and circles. So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, adieu.
Adieu, adieu, to ye and ye and ye e.
So long, farewell, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen.
I'd like to stay and taste my first champagne.
Ooh, this is getting creepy. Like that dude on TikTok, right? This is going to go somewhere dark, man.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Really, though, hold on. So she wants to stick around and have her first taste of champagne, and then she's heaving and sighing.
She's the oldest one. That was Liesl, like the 16-year-old one.
Oh, that's okay then. And how old were the guys she was hanging around with at 16?
He was a soldier, so he was probably like 19 or 20.
All right, okay.
Oh, heave. Oh, sigh. Oh, give me some more of that champagne, baby.
Uber Nazi. Uber, Uber, Uber Nazi. Uber, Uber.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you remove my tattooed skin and make lampshades, you hope the Nazis win, but they fucking won't. Hooked on a feeling. You're in love with me.
Is she talking to the horse?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Uber Nazi, Uber, Uber, Uber Nazi, Uber, Uber.
So, we went camping, and that's why we took a week off, so we could go camping and do stuff, that fun stuff. But I got really bad sunburned, and like my forehead skin and my stomach skin is peeling now, so Ilsa could totally have some of my fucking nasty peeling skin if she wants.
I mean, gladly, because it would stop going all over my fucking desk, Gordon. Quit it! Quit it! No! God.
It like.
Damn it.
It's so, I've never had a sunburned forehead before. It's so weird because it keeps like oozing. It like, I touch it and it feels like it's sweat, but it's like pus.
There is no pus. It's just skin, dude.
No, it just feels like pus.
No, you're always just a greasy bitch.
Oh, yeah. True story.
And like, I'm ginger. And I came away totally unscathed. Not a single bit of sunburn. This fucking pasty ass goth bitch.
I applied so much sunscreen, too.
Clearly not enough. It's all peeling around her fucking belly button, man.
My belly button!
It's
so gross.
You're welcome.
Can I put my penis in it?
In my skin?
Well, I mean, now we're talking. I was talking about your belly button, but...
No.
I mean, yeah, I talked about making a skin fleshlight earlier, and I would definitely make one out of your skin. In fact... Can we make an agreement? Can we write a contract that if you die first, I may flay you and craft a masturbatory aid? That obviously is after I just fucked your corpse, because, you know, you gotta take them while they're still warm, right? And plus, when they just die, they're totally poseable. Put them however you want. Just fucking set them up there. Fucking go for it. Yeah. Corpses. Jeff fucking Goldblum.
Oh, okay. Fucking no religion. God.
No, but you know Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't know.
And good old Jeff.
Good old Jeff with his
fucking... Who wears Birkenstocks.
Sausage fingers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, didn't you have a dream about that once? Or was that Adam Driver?
No, I don't remember.
You definitely had a dream about thick fingers and your...
I normally do dream about thick fingers.
Yeah, it's true. Mine aren't, so she has to take all five.
He has little, like IT fingers.
IT fingers?
Like soft hands, because he just types on a computer all day.
Oh, I do have soft hands, yeah. They're incredibly soft. Oh, yeah, it's just... So were the bottom of my feet until I moved to America. I never used to wear flip-flops, and now I just walk around in fucking flip-flops all the time, and now I've got crusty American skin feet. Crusty American feet skin.
Skin feet.
Skin feet. Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah. Ilsa would have had a fucking field day with my dick and my feet, man.